Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week we're speaking to an Australian-born Mary P.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so isn't really suitable for children. So put your AirPod, Bud, headphones, whatever you want, put them in or on. Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
We are coming from soggy Australia.
Yes, we are.
And
it's
a lot of rain. Hopefully by the time this goes out, the flooding has gone down, but at time of recording, it's still raining.
Yes.
So, and Melbourne's got nothing to complain about. We won't even try and
the first time ever, Melbourne's settled.
Yes, yeah, we've got a bit of drizzle, whatever.
Which is typical.
Yes, that is. Not for this time of year. It doesn't usually rain in March.
True.
Yeah, it's usually
when
our
people
lovely
like to get married.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's usually our dry month, but that doesn't matter. There's your weather chat analyst. We get it in one way.
I know.
Just going to tell you that, you know, we're still emailing the Bureau of Meteorology because we're just trying to work out a date when we can go in. And they sign off with, I hope you're enjoying the gorgeous autumn weather.
Right?
I'm like,
these
are my people. They're weather people.
I can't wait to go and talk to them.
I can't wait to talk to them either.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, we do have a guest.
We do. And it's very exciting to bring you someone from the other side of the world.
Yes. And we didn't muck up the time zones or anything.
Oh, no. Did we? It's a bit of daylight saving action.
Bit of yes.
Yeah.
Them versus us.
Yeah. So would you like to introduce yourself? Tell us your name.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Chambers. I am, what do we call me? An Aussie-born Mary P. So I grew up in Australia, but I've been living in California since about 2003.
Ah. Well, we'll find out more about that later.
Yes.
But let's start off with our first question. Tell us about music that you love to listen to in the good times or the tricky times.
Yeah, I think we've been through a few phases, particularly during the pandemic. We started off pretty strong with Hamilton.
Yes.
A lot of Hamilton lyrics being belted out, so that was a bit of a family favourite. Right now we love Titanium. You know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Titanium. It's a really good one. That's it. Look at this. I've got a musical backup for it. I love it. There's a soundtrack to this and everything.
Oh, wow.
My kids just love the dance party.
Uh-huh.
So whenever that comes on, we have a big old dance party. So we do that when folks are a bit tired or a bit grumpy or have a bit too much energy. So that's our latest go-to.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh, that's
my
husband
says music calms the beast.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So he's if everyone was sort of frantic in our house, we put music on.
Mm.
Yeah.
And water.
Yeah.
And water. Add water.
Water.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you win any awards at school?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I should say no because it feels bad to admit it, but I did.
I was
an award winner.
Ah,
that's okay.
I feel bad about it. Look, it's interesting. I went to a school. We had I do feel bad though.
No.
We had a big awards night, right? So it was a huge deal.
Yes.
And it went for hours and hours and hours.
Well, I've been to them.
I'd get the, get the academic awards and so forth. But my perspective on them has changed so much since listening to you guys because it was tedious enough for us to sit through them, even though mum and dad knew, my brother and I'd be up on stage. But I was like, what about all those other people who just sat there the whole time just knowing there was no chance, right?
Yeah.
So I've thought a lot about – I have a whole new perspective on awards ceremonies since listening to you guys.
Good.
I'm learning.
We're all learning.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, and tell us why you're a P. Just start wherever you want to start.
Of course. So I've got three kiddos. They are 9, almost 7 and 3. And my 7-year-old, she turned 7 on Friday, so I'm practicing calling her 7. She has a very rare genetic mutation. It's the BRAT1 gene, but it's one of those that is so rare that they really don't know very much about it. So there's about 12 kids alive with it that we've been able to find around the world.
Wow.
And none of them actually have her mutation. So right. I guess she's literally one in a billion or whatever.
Right.
But it's a tricky one. We discovered it. The doctors first noticed it at about 2 months old right. at her check-in, and she was just, you know, she had a little head, you know, which is never a good sign, I've discovered, and her eyes were doing some wonky things. And so that kind of launched us into the world of trying to figure out what it was. We didn't know, and it took a long time. We can talk more about that. But we eventually got the genetic diagnosis, and it's quite a serious one. She can't walk or talk. The name of it is awful. It's called lethal neonatal rigidity multifocal seizure syndrome.
Yes.
The first 20 kids they found with it all died before they were two. So that was not fun to hear in the diagnosis.
No.
But, you know, with new things, there's a group of kids that have milder symptoms, I guess, that they found, like Penny, and some of them are teenagers. So, and again, none of them have what she has. So we just don't know, really, but just enjoy every little moment we have with her.
Yes. When I read the name of it, it took my breath away.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, it's funny, they didn't tell us the name of it initially when they gave us the diagnosis, new diagnosis day, but they were a bit sketchy, but I could tell they were holding something back. And my husband's so great. He's like, if there's something you're not telling us, please tell us, because my wife is going to go home and Google the whole thing. And then we're like, oh, okay, here's the name, but, you know,
might
not mean anything because it's so new. So that was fun.
So, all right, before we get into all of that, how did you, I think you were born in rural Australia, end up living in California?
Yeah, so I was definitely a country girl. I was born in Orbost. You guys know Orbost?
Yes, I do.
Eastern Victoria.
On the way to Maroombula?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, there you go.
That's where we stop off.
That's where you stop off.
Yeah.
My parents live in Raymond Island now. Oh, down
I love
Bairnsdale,
Raymond Island.
So
friends who just bought a block of land there.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous around the Koala Trail and all that.
Yeah.
So they live there now. So that's born there. Then we moved to Broken Hill.
Wow.
Yes.
And I was actually living in Broken Hill when they filmed Mad Max.
Oh.
That's aging me quite a bit. So there you go. And then Melbourne for a bit. And then I was mostly grew up in Ballarat. So lived there through high school, went to Melbourne for uni, and then worked for a couple of years in Melbourne and moved to the States to go to graduate school. And I've been here since then.
Right. So what did you study at the graduate school over there?
So I did my MBA. I went to Stanford University and did a Master's of Business, which was fun. Really, really great degree. Really great school, really great degree.
Oh, awesome. That's an adventure for coming from Ballarat.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And clearly you met somebody over there?
Well, technically, no. Actually, okay. After business school, I started working at a company here. I was at that company for about 13 years. And as part of it, I went to England.
Ah.
They transferred me over there for a little while. So I met my husband in London, actually.
Oh,
so
he's
a British boy.
Ah.
Yeah.
So neither of you are American.
No, our kids are.
Yes.
They're all American, but not us.
Yeah, right. How wonderful.
Yeah, interesting life.
So how did you settle on California?
You know, I think Australia spoils you, honestly, for places to live. And so there aren't many places I could live apart from Australia, but California is one. It's good people, really good job opportunities, nice weather, you know, good access to being
beaches.
On the water and skiing and beaches and stuff. So it's one of the few places I think you could be, although all of my friends over here are moving back to Australia.
Yes.
So their draw back home is always really strong. We talk about it all the time.
Yes, I bet.
Yeah. So do you think you'll stay there or do you think you'll come home?
For a while. I've just started a new job, which is really fun. So I'll be here for a while. But I think our destination is always Australia, even for my husband, it's where the family is. It's where all of our friends sort of end up. And it's just such a great place to live. So at some point we will return. We'll just have to figure out the right timing.
And you had all your children in America?
Yeah, all three of them. And it's funny. Their accents are all over the place, right?
So
it's a mess. My nine-year-old is very American, but she says a bunch of words very Australian that she really hears with us, like aunt or you know, or yes. boot. Yeah, she's got yes. some Australian words. And I've been very determined that I'm mum, not mom. So yes. she does try to call me mum. I'm very, that's my one rule. She can say everything else American, but I don't want to be mom. And you know what? My three-year-old, he's a pandemic baby. So yes. he was learning to talk during shutdown. So he's actually, I think he's got a pretty strong Aussie/English accent, because he's just, the only American voice he hears is his sister and a bit of yes. Paw Patrol, I guess. Like that's, yeah. well, that's about it. And yeah. the rest of it's yeah. us. So, yeah, it's odd. I mean, he'll go American eventually, but
yes.
yeah,
for now.
Does he watch Bluey?
No, he's sticking with it. Yes, yes, I've got all my kids into Bluey. We love it. It's fun for the whole family.
Yes, it is.
My husband and I like it just as much as the kids.
Of yes. course. I think that's the winning combination they've done
really
with that.
Is, yeah,
yeah.
It really is.
But there's some good Australian accents in there.
What a taste of home.
Mm.
There are.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. My kids love it.
Tell us a little bit then about after that 2 months and coming up to the diagnosis.
Yeah.
What do you want to tell us about that time?
Yeah, so it's so funny because she was my second kid, and so I was just feeling very confident. You know, I'm her eyes are a bit funny, but, you know, like kids don't focus for a while. And I was like, I'll go to the appointment on my own. It's not a big deal for a 2 month check-in because, you know, it's my second kid. I'm a pro, right? And so I was really taken by surprise when the pediatrician said, look, this is not right, like there is something very seriously wrong. And of course I was on my own in the appointment because my husband was there. I just wasn't expecting it. So that set us off. We started with kind of ophthalmologists because her vision was the obvious thing, and they're like, well, she's completely blind. And I was like, wow, I did not expect that. And that was terrifying. And then they were like, and probably there'll be developmental problems because her head's small and those are often correlated. I'm like, nah, she'll be fine, right? We'll deal with blind. And then I'm like, okay, how do you have a blind child? And I started researching it and looking into it and looking into schools and planning this whole world of having a blind child. And then over time she started not hitting developmental milestones. And so we started investigating more and, you know, eventually we did the genetic testing to find the gene, but it didn't give us many answers, really. And then other things were kicked in. So, you know, we figured out at some point that she was going to be nonverbal, figured out at some point that she was not going to walk probably, although she practices really hard. She's got a little walker, so she's working on it. And she's ripped, you guys. Like, she has these amazing pecs and abs.
Yes.
Like,
she's got this,
her little core is so strong because she's always trying to balance.
Yes.
Yeah, she's like constantly doing crunches. I wish I had a six pack like
this.
But just sort of the I guess the realization slowly trickled in that this was a big deal. It didn't hit us all at once. And so we grieved many times, I think, and sort of went through a lot of those, okay, this is our life. All right, I'll plan for that. And then I'm like, oh, okay, this is our life. All right, I'll plan for that. And it got exhausting, exhausting to try and do all those adjustments. And even when we got the diagnosis, it didn't tell us anything really, you know, like it's just such a small, 12 kids is not a sample size, right? Like we don't know what's going to happen with her. So it's pretty exhausting. I think a lot about the story guys tell about the Amsterdam poem. Do you know that one?
Yeah. Yes.
This is only
welcome
in Amsterdam.
To Holland.
And the way, welcome to Holland, that's it. The way I sort of described it was in terms of a painting, right? Like I had this beautiful painting drawn of our life and what it was going to be. And there was ski trips and boating trips and adventures and kids going off to college. Like that was the painting of my life. And then all of a sudden it was blank. It was this blank canvas.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh gosh, I have to paint this whole thing from scratch. And it was terrifying.
Yes.
But also when you frame it that way, you're like, but I can paint it, right? Like we can still create something.
It's, Laura. Yes.
So that sort of helped us have a way of thinking about it that was a little bit more positive.
How did you communicate to all the family? So I'm expecting people are in Australia, people are in England.
Harsh?
Yeah. How did you do it? Because you might not have been in person.
It wasn't, right? It was an email. And again, I think what I found really hard was you know, there's the emotional burden you're going through, and then you tell other people about it. And what I didn't expect was that I then had to carry their emotional burden, right?
Yes.
Like they were processing it and wanted to talk about it, and it's all they wanted to talk about. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. Like I just didn't expect that I would have to help everyone else through it as well.
Totally.
Like it makes sense now, but I just wasn't, that's not what I wanted or needed and what I was prepared to do. I just needed a break and to feel a bit normal with some of my friends and family, and that took a little while to settle into, because they had to grieve too, right? They were sort of going through their own set of changes and realizations.
Yeah, and worrying for you, and they're
far away.
Yes, I just
emailed them.
Yeah.
So it's like an email, this is what's going on, you know, and there were sort of the stages of it, like as we discovered it. But the hard one was probably the diagnosis, because I had to tell them the name and then kind of go through that and help them through it. So, yeah, it's a tough one.
How did you tell
But I've got to tell you, she's beautiful. She's she is. Oh, my gosh. We have our friends and family just adore her. She's the best hugger in the entire world.
Yes.
Like the best. And she squeals and she's happy. She has taught me so much.
Oh.
And one of the biggest things I realized, just in so many ways, but like I think particularly growing up in a world that has awards, you know, and celebrates achievement, you sort of have this path that you want for your kids.
Definitely.
Which involves things like, you know, jobs and money and a marriage and all that stuff.
Going to uni and travel.
Yeah, degrees. Yeah, that's what we're told, right? What I've realized with Penny is she is the happiest person I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is our own bullshit, right?
It's
like
true.
If she's happy, what else do you want for your kids?
Nothing.
My sister said to me the other day,
everything else is just a fake.
She said, I think Molly's going to have the best life out of all of us. And I was like, I think you're probably right.
Mm.
Is no pressure on her.
No.
Yeah.
When I was at uni, I lived with a beautiful family, and their son Shannon was one of my best friends, and he had Down syndrome, and he's since passed away. But his mum, she had three boys, and she said to me, when he was born, I cried and cried, or when I got the diagnosis, and since then he's caused me no pain or grief or anything. She said he's never come home late, he's never sworn at me, he's never got drunk.
It's true.
One of her kids drove the car without his license.
She's like all these things.
She said he just brings joy every day.
Yeah.
She goes, he's just the biggest blessing.
And no one tells you that.
No, it was a really profound moment, because I was like 18 going, oh, right. You know, I was just friends with him. I didn't think much of it. But then when I heard it, I was like, wow, yeah, of course.
And it's so funny, because in some ways she's our hardest kid, right? Like we have to move her everywhere, and there's PT and OT and the stress. And but like 9 times out of 10, she's the easy one, right? Our other kids are cheeky and naughty and back chat and all that. I mean, beautiful kids, but there's no moments.
Yeah.
And
then you start going.
She's never been naughty.
Normal development? What the heck? This is hard.
It's overrated, man.
Yeah.
It's overrated.
Oh, I bet she's just wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's such a sweetie.
When you found out about the Brat One, is that what we were going to call it, shorthand?
Yeah.
Were you put in contact with other families?
Oh, yeah, that's been a bit of a hard story, to be honest. So I am a researcher, right?
Yes.
So my approach is, the way I can help her is I can learn and I can plan and do all this stuff, but nothing was good that I found. Mm. I connected with two families, and both of them, their kids passed away.
No.
So one passed away when he was about 6 months old, and the other one passed away when she was about 7 years old. I mean, I'm so glad I met them, because their families are beautiful and wonderful friends, and it's been lovely to be on the journey with them, but I'm not finding anything good by doing the research, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I remember this breakthrough, because I'm the planner, right? And I remember this moment was just such a turning point for me. I was looking at my husband, and he was tickling her and laughing with her, and they were mucking around, and I was so angry at him, because I'm like, what are you doing having fun? Like, I'm so upset and I'm so stressed. I have no idea what the future was, and how are you having fun? And I just paused for a second, and I'm like, actually, I don't want to drag him into my unhappy place. Like, he's actually got the right idea. Yeah. So yes. At that point I realized I was going to be more like him, right, and just enjoy the moment instead of worrying about the future. And that was just such a fantastic lesson, because I just realized how ridiculous it was that I couldn't enjoy being with her because I was so worried about everything. And he was just like tickling her. Yes. Like, that's a better place to be.
It really is.
Really. Yeah. It's hard though. And because you think, well, it if is. I do this research and I can make her life better, then I really need to do it.
Yeah, even though that's not true. I think sometimes you get to the point that, yes, well, sometimes it's not true, because you kind of feel like it might, but I just, there wasn't anything that I would find, I think, that would help.
No.
And it all just made me really sad.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Sometimes I think that's the case, but I don't think that was the case for us.
No, definitely not the case. I suppose I didn't explain myself. I was like, I can see why you go down that road, and then you're like, actually, it's just about I just want to enjoy
and sometimes you can find stuff, right? Like you might find treatments, or you might find families and networks, and there's some great stuff you can find, or you might even be able to fundraise if they're close to a treatment. Like all that stuff is possible, right? So it's worth looking, but I think sometimes it's just not your journey, you know?
And were you put into, what's it like in America? Is it, what's the early intervention like? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's complicated, isn't it always?
But you're navigating a different country.
I know. Oh, and the healthcare system and, oh, God, it's such a nightmare. Anyway, there's sort of an early childhood phase where it's all state-funded. So you kind of, you get connected to the regional center, who are pretty good, and you get a caseworker, and they do early childhood intervention. So we got vision, we got speech for a little while until they realized that wasn't really going to work, and we got some PT and OT through a fantastic community center. Yeah. She's had the same therapist since she was like a tiny baby. It's so sweet.
So good.
They've seen her grow and seen her progress, which is lovely. So that sort of happens up until about year three, and around three you swap into the school district.
Right.
And that's a lot trickier. That's when IEPs start and all of that. And that's not been a happy journey for us.
No.
I mean, we've got to a good place, but oh my God, I'm just learning how to advocate is so traumatic.
It
like
is.
We are, as particularly as women, you're taught not to argue and not to fight, and you look like if you do, and all of a sudden you have to.
Yes.
And the stakes are so high.
Yes.
And you are so ill-equipped for it because you have no idea what you're doing.
That's right.
And it doesn't feel like anyone's in your corner.
Yes.
And you're in this room with like 20 professionals who you feel like you're at odds with. And and they shouldn't be. They're wonderful humans. They're just, you're cast into these roles, right? And so we had to go all in. We had to hire an advocate. We had to hire a neuropsychologist. We ended up hiring a lawyer to try and get her a good placement. And it was just the worst experience. Just so stressful and so terrible. And
she was
blonde.
Three.
Yeah, she was three. Because the other thing is, if you get the levels early in the States, then you kind of get to
you're
keep
set.
Them. So you've got to fight the battle early.
Right.
Sort of set. Like it's still up for grabs, but you're in a stronger position. So we kind of figured out that we would go in strong at the start. And, you know, the wonderful outcome is we found this extraordinary school for her.
Yes.
It's called the Bridge School.
Tell us.
In the Bay Area. And they are amazing. They're really specialized for kids like Penny. It is a school that really focuses on communications, adaptive communication. So all of the kids can't talk, or they might have one or two words. All of them have gross motor difficulties, so they can't sign, for example, or use sort of buttons in a traditional way.
Switches.
And so what the school does, exactly. So they work with each kid to figure out how they learn, right?
Wow.
And what their levels are and what devices work with them. So she started with, you know, a single big Mac, big Mac button, like that. And then she had these four buttons that said, I'm going to get it wrong, but something like go, can I see, more, and hi. So she could sort of learn to press those. And they're testing her right now with eye gaze. So I didn't finish that part of the story. Her vision kind of came back a little bit. So it's, even though she was completely blind at the start, she's got a condition called CBI, which can actually change over time, so your vision can actually improve a bit.
Right.
So funnily enough, now we're testing something that, even though I thought that was a originally I thought was just blind. Now, actually, we're learning, they're testing out whether she can use her eye gaze to communicate. So we're trialing a bunch of devices there. But they're so cool because it's really small classrooms. There's like, it feels like there's three teachers for every student.
Yes.
And they assist her. And I think more so than that, they see her.
Oh. Yeah.
You know what it's like when, I remember we went for a tour. And we're so used to people not seeing Penny and moving too fast for her. And that's just life, right? Like it's so like people look away and they don't notice and they don't pay attention. And I remember she was in this little circle with all their little kids in their wheelchairs and she wheeled up and they're passing around a red hat, like a fireman's hat. And they passed it to Penny and paused for a little while and then passed it on. And after they passed it, she made like the slightest motion to reach for it.
Yeah.
And they saw it.
Oh.
Like they noticed. And they said, oh, Penny, you want to see it? Oh. And they brought it back. And I was like, oh, we have to come here. Yeah. Like you guys, it was amazing. And we were so emotional. We're like, how do we sign up? And then they're like, well, we'll let you know in a week if you can apply. And I'm like, no, that's not, no, you don't understand. Like she has to come here.
You noticed her.
She has to come here. You saw her, you know, and it was such a, and we've learned so much from them. They're wonderful teachers for us too, to help us, you know, notice. Again, she doesn't have traditional communication, but she points to her chest to say me. And she looks at stuff and she bangs stuff when she wants it and she points at things like in her own way. And so we're kind of learning Penny's language
through that. Of course you are.
So lovely.
And a place to belong means something, doesn't it? Somewhere to go that you know.
Have you made friends with the other families or?
We were just sort of starting to, I think, before the pandemic, and it's been hard because all the kids are high risk, right?
Yes.
So she's back there part time. Yeah, but I think we're all being pretty conservative. I think, you know, if Penny got pneumonia, I don't think she'd pull through. So we've had that burden the whole way. Like it's for the other little kiddos with this, pneumonia's been kind of a cause of death. So we are carrying that burden. Luckily, my husband and I just got vaccinated, so that's one less burden to carry. But that's been tough. So we love the people, and you know, we'll sometimes do Zoom drinks to catch up because they're just gorgeous. But I think we're all pretty overwhelmed with life, you know, and pretty busy. So it's hard to find time. That's a lovely little community.
So when did you go into lockdown?
It was almost exactly a year ago. I've actually got this diary from a year ago. I was writing a diary at the time. And so I've been like reading through my entries from those times. And it was just like, wow. But it was almost, I think, last Thursday.
We're about the same. And what did you have to do?
We were a little ahead of you guys. Yes. I remember because we were going into lockdown and I'm texting all my mates in Australia saying, go and get stuff from the freezer, buy toilet paper, like get a freezer. Like it's going, you are a week behind us and it's going to about to go absolutely nuts there. So all my mates went out and kind of stocked up early before it got a little wild. So we were like a week or so ahead of you.
Got it.
Oh. And have you been locked down that whole time?
Look, it's kind of weird in the States. So technically, yes. But it's a lot less enforced than it is in Australia. So, but you can, I mean, the shops are closed and the restaurants are closed and all that type of stuff mostly. But people are still out and about a lot and flying a lot and traveling a lot. So it's sort of, we've been in this sort of, it's very choose your own adventure. So my friends and our family, we've been very locked down. But no one else has.
Yes.
That's part of why it's pretty frustrating, right? Like when you are doing all the right things, most of the country isn't. And so that means it's forever for you, you know?
I really need that vaccine.
We've just been like this forever.
All the P families probably feel like you over there. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're all very restricted.
And
I mean, the transit homeschooling, I don't think anyone realizes how impossible
it's impossible
with special needs kids. It's impossible. I've got three kids, I've got a full-time job, I have my husband, we're fortunate we have an au pair with us as well, but it's like Penny needs someone the entire time. She can't access a classroom without it.
No, of course not.
at all. So that's, you need one human with one child.
Yes, yes.
And then you've got other kids and stuff, and it's really, it's overwhelming, right? Like, it's not like you can pop them in a classroom and tell them to get through their work.
No.
That's just not how it works.
And is school on for all. Your other kids?
Or for your big
kids? Your big
we are. Daughter. It's in and out a little bit. They, my eldest is at a really good school that's been, basically you can get permission to be open hybrid
right.
here. And yeah. they got permission pretty early. And they actually test every single student and faculty member every single week.
Wow.
And
the nasal swab.
Different cohorts. I think so. I actually haven't asked my daughter what it is. It might, I don't know if it's that or it might be a saliva test. She doesn't complain though, I guess, because they're all doing it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they get tested every week, and there's been really no cases in the school, which is amazing because it's been pretty bad around here. We've had – I mean, we are now celebrating because we're down to, like, 40 cases a day in the county, and everyone's like, oh, it's over, we're done.
No.
And I'm like, if this was Australia, it would be a national crisis.
In Melbourne, you wouldn't be able to leave your house.
No, be locked down. Dan would come and bolt the door up.
Oh.
It's so funny. I know, but everyone here is like, oh, my gosh, like, 40 a day, like, let's go out and party. Like, it's just, that's
crazy. I remember
crazy.
How we felt. So I mean, we never had those numbers, but having 700 and then dropping under the 100 and then under the 50, they're pretty big milestones.
Yeah. How did you feel? Well, tell us about how you managed, because didn't you just start your new job?
I did.
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Tell us a bit about that.
I was actually interviewing when the pandemic started. I had my first interview, I think, before lockdown, and then I sort of continued through it. And so I started in June, completely remote. I joined a company. I had to, I'm the CEO, so it's like a big job, and I had to meet everyone and learn the whole thing.
Wow.
And the whole thing remotely. And it was interesting, but I think you learn a lot about the importance of communication, right? So I have a lot of one-on-ones with people. I write a lot of emails and notes to check in with people. It's sort of, you learn a lot of skills, I think, of staying connected, even though it's not physically.
Mm.
So that's been interesting.
But fun.
I can't even imagine how you did that.
No, that's extremely hard.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was really interesting, so I joined in June, start of June, and about 2 weeks in, I'm like, this is not working for me. I'm like, I'm feeling so guilty because my nine-year-old, I have to, like, check that she's in at class. Mm. And how do I do that every hour when I'm starting these other meetings? And, I was feeling so overwhelmed. And I'm like, gosh, if I'm feeling this way, I wonder how the rest of the company is. And so I actually called together. I was like, do you guys want to talk? And so I just set up a Zoom meeting on a Thursday afternoon and invited everyone if they just wanted to chat about it. And all of us got together and we're like, this is really hard and it's really stressful. And so we talked about what we could do differently as a company. And this is the nice thing about having women in leadership positions, right? Like, we have high empathy. And we're struggling with it too. And so we sat down and we're like, gosh, we all just feel really guilty. So, which is ridiculous.
Yes. Mm.
But we created this little rule that you can have a purple block where you block an out of office on your calendar to do whatever you need to do completely guilt-free.
Oh.
And that might be transitioning a kid or picking up a kid from hybrid, or if you don't have kids, even going for a walk or having a lunch outside, because no one was even doing that.
Mm.
And so we created this thing called Pebble Block so people could just set the time they needed and feel zero guilt about it. And that's been great. Really, I love them. Everyone loves them. We celebrate them. It's like, good on you for doing the thing you need to do, you know?
Yes.
And we invested in, like, therapy circles for folks and yoga classes. And we did all this on a tiny budget because we're like this tiny little company.
Yes.
But we had volunteers come in and do that stuff. And we moved to no meeting Wednesday. So everyone has all of Wednesday just to kind of focus and do what they need to do.
Smart.
So it's been...
This is what would happen if women ran the world.
If we ran the world, we...
I'm all saying... Yeah, men have had their go.
They have.
And
we're coming.
It's
watch
not
out.
Great. It's not great. So let the women have
it's not
go.
Working out well, is it?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Imagine no meeting Wednesday, the whole world.
It is for them.
I know.
We're coming for them.
We're coming for them. And have you noticed, what did that do to productivity? Did it, like, could you see it?
Productivity, but it... It helped with stress levels.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's
like
all that
lower
mattered then.
Anxiety. Yeah. Higher Well, what it does is it builds resilience, yes. right? Like if you are feeling less stressed and less guilty and more able to focus when you need to focus, then you're resilient. And yes. so when things go wrong, which they always do, always, mm. you just have more reserves to bounce with
yeah,
them.
So you can
I think
bounce
that
back.
People just mm. sort of, you can just tell at work people were a bit less stressed, right? Like
yeah.
able, when things go wrong, able just to bounce back a little,
oh, well
a little
done.
Faster. The turnaround time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What tell us a little bit about your company. What is it? What do you do?
Oh, so I got to give you guys some credit for this, actually. So I was working at a really big company in travel before that. It was like a dream job. But I'd been listening to you guys for a while, and I was also just doing some sort of reassessment of life priorities and what I wanted to spend my time doing.
Yes.
Because, you know, your hours are so precious and limited, yeah. especially have kids, right? Like
yes.
I could be with them. So if I'm not with them, it better be worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I had been thinking, you know, you guys have been so influential on my ways of thinking about community and giving back and all that type of stuff. So the company I joined, actually their mission is to bring joy to motherhood.
Oh,
isn't that awesome?
Oh, that
I
is.
Know. It's so great. And we've got one product out right now. We invented a new breast pump. It's an all-in-one wearable. I know. I don't know. Did you guys have, I don't know if you use breast pumps, but those
yes.
old,
the Medela.
Heavy
yes,
things.
We did.
The yeah. Medela pumping style. Yeah. I had one of those, yeah. especially yeah. if you have NICU babies, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah
straight
we
up
did.
To the pumps.
But yeah.
this is, it's an all-in-one pump, and so you can just pop it under your shirt and get about your day.
Oh.
And you can, like, lie down and it works. You can touch your toes and it works. We've had a mum run a marathon while pumping. It's just like, it's
that wouldn't
ridiculous.
Have been that helpful for me, but.
Whoa, that's
well, no, no, I know. It relate to that. It's so funny. They're,
but I
always
like
use the marathon example. But
I would have, yeah.
Yeah.
Unstack the dishwasher.
Yeah.
That's the killer application. You can actually unstack the dishwasher while pumping or pick up a toddler or hold your infant.
Oh, baby, yeah.
Like it's so crazy to me. Like women spend on average 240 hours a year plugged into the wall.
Mm.
And mums are the busiest people
yes.
in the world,
yeah.
right? Like how is that even okay? So we brought this out a couple of years ago. It's been a huge hit. We're just in the US right now, but hopefully yep. Australia's
yes.
seeing that it's been, it's done so well. As you
oh,
can imagine,
I'm
everyone's
so glad.
Just, it's
yeah.
life-changing. You can actually
yes.
forget about your life while pumping, particularly mm. actually for folks like doctors and nurses, it's mm. a really big deal because
yes.
you have unpredictable shifts.
That's right.
You have to run around a lot and stuff. So
yeah.
it's great to, so people can actually do that. They can be a nurse and a doctor and
yeah.
pump, you know.
And no one even knows.
So I'm assuming it like goes into a bag, not a whole bottle. Like you have like bottles hanging off your boobs
well,
when you're walking around.
It's a bag, yeah,
yeah.
or a container.
Yeah.
I can show you guys
yeah,
on the screen,
us.
But it's not helpful
yeah.
for listeners.
Oh.
But it's just that. That's it. You just pop
so
it
up. Looks like a cricket box
and it works.
For Australians.
A little bit, yeah.
So you just sit it over the breast.
Yeah, you just pop it on under your bra. That's it. Just pop it under your bra, turn it on, and Bob's your uncle. You're
Is there different sizes?
Yeah, there are. So it's people have different nipple sizes. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, the thing that is nipple size, actually,
oh,
not
yes.
anything else. So
okay,
you have
okay.
to size your nipple, and
wow.
women have very, very
I
different
find it
sizes. I know.
Online clothing. Let's get my
just
nipple
measure it.
Get the tape measure.
Yeah, there's an app, you guys.
Oh,
don't worry. You can measure yourself
app.
With an app. It's
like
it's
ring
and it's also cool because I know that it's but nipples. The number of times I've asked people for their nipple size in the last year is just crazy. It's,
oh, well, you didn't
these
ask
are
me.
All
I'm
words
offended.
I never used to say before.
It depends which baby you're
oh,
on.
Oh, it's amazing.
Because yeah.
they get bigger with each baby,
yeah.
I think.
It, do people have a bigger nipple than the other? Like, you know how one side, sometimes your boobie's bigger?
Not very often. You're not that lopsided. Oh, some people are. It does happen
yeah.
a little bit, but it does change over time. So what we've found is most people get sized wrong, right? Like
yeah.
you're in the hospital and you've got your lactation consultant, they'll size you, but you're really, like, you've got a lot of edema and swelling and stuff, and so it changes over time. Yeah. So this is all stuff I never knew any of this before, and I've had three kids. So there's so little that we do to support mums.
At their most vulnerable time.
I know.
It's crazy. It's absolutely heartbreaking. So our mission is to fix that, right? This is the first product. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff coming out that's we are just focused on mums and understanding what's hard for them and fixing it. And again, the like listening to you guys has been so brilliant, because one of the things I keep saying to my team is every journey is different.
Yes. Right?
And there was one meeting, they're like, we should do milestones. I'm like, no. Not doing milestones. Like, milestones suck. Everyone hates milestones. Like, that is not going to be part of any design.
The new word we learned last week was milestones for us.
So if your child does something amazing to you.
So when Penny did that movement, it's a smile stone.
Yeah. Right? That's a smile stone. Yeah. Like, can smile stones?
Smile stones. That one. Yeah. Like smile stones you can have.
We borrowed it.
Yeah. So definitely. Oh, that's so funny. Oh,
yeah.
So it's just funny. Like people have got Kate and Mandy on their shoulder all the time saying,
I know, all the time. You're just sitting there.
They're very loud.
So funny.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, we'll be cheering that on.
Is there going to be like, you know, you can get like blow up sex dolls. Will there be like a blow up wife that we can have and then she'll do the dishes and stuff?
Yes.
That's what's coming after the breast pump.
Well, do you know what part? Yeah, I love that. Part of what we've realized, so 85% of mums feel unsupported. And it's really, we do these journals to track sort of day by day. And what's fascinating is about 2 weeks in, there's a lot of people around, right? Like that's the time when there's the most people around.
Yes.
But mums feel the least supported because you're like, I don't want to have to tell you what to do, right? Like it's hard enough to manage the stuff, but then to manage the people around me is, it's like, I'll just do it myself. And so we're looking at how to make that a little bit easier so that you can actually, because people do want to help, they just don't know how and you don't want to be bothered asking them. So we feel like we can help make that a little bit easier, which would be nice. So maybe not a substitute wife, but maybe helping activate the people around you a little bit.
That would be just thinking about, like, can you do it both ways, like put it the Coke straight into my boob.
Just talking about Coca-Cola, people.
Oh, Coca-Cola. That's a good clarification.
Yeah, yes, that's right.
Not Coke.
Well, like
we've
the
already
weed.
Had the weed.
We've had the weed problem.
We don't want to get like bans for drugs or whatever.
Well, yeah, that sounds so fascinating and wonderful. I can see why you're enjoying doing the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, making it's just difference. Like every day you wake up and you're making a difference. And we're doing a lot of work on disparities, right? Like different, especially in America. Gosh, America's such a mess, man. But like people don't get maternity leaves. And they don't get, once you have a baby, you're not even allowed to see your OBGYN for 6 weeks, right? So you have no medical care.
Really?
You're straight back at work. Yeah. And there's massive disparities for women of color, particularly black women are just not encouraged to breastfeed. Because people assume that they won't. Like there's all these really big systemic things that are very broken in American policies and so forth. So we're trying to do a bit of that lobbying too to try and change the world. But, you know, anything we can do, I think, to support mums.
Yeah.
They need it. They deserve it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it changes the world.
And what do you bring to that being a P? What do you think you bring distinctively because of Penny, being Penny's
mum? Such a
good
question. Look, I've learnt so much from her. You know, we should write a book on what we learn from our kids.
Definitely.
I think she's just made me such a better human and so much more empathetic. Mm. And I just see people differently and better, you know, because I look for them and I appreciate challenges more. And so I think that, like, makes you a better leader because you are just much more open to the human condition and the differences there. And then I think for the job, it's just, particularly in this job, understanding how diverse your world can be, right?
Yes.
Your path can be and how crappy it can be when you just see the same story and the same image and the same milestones and you just, every signal reinforces that you don't fit in.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's sort of built into our design. We just created a diversity statement for the company, and I crafted it very deliberately. You guys will laugh if you read it, but it's like every journey is so unique.
Yes.
Like we're all connected by having a child, yes. But beyond that, it's yep. such a different journey.
Yes.
And so that's something I just bring, and, you know, for everything we do, both for the team and for our mums, it's sort of my orientation now, I think, having had a kid like Penny and being part of the two-piece community. It makes it's really important, I think, really influential.
How did you find us? I'm just curious.
Oh, it's so funny. So you had only been out for like a week or two. You were brand new. And I have a gorgeous sister-in-law in Melbourne, and she's like, I just found this podcast. You have to listen to it. So I'm an early, early fee listener.
Are.
Yeah, right from the start.
Right.
Yeah, you were just a couple of weeks in.
Oh.
And I just came home and I was like, Adam, I found my best friend. She's like, what? I'm like, I love them for so many reasons. But it's like, I was like, you laugh and you cry. Everything is an emotional adventure.
It is.
You know, I used to listen to you on my commute, and I'd rock up at work with puffy eyes. That was embarrassing. But just that journey, but also like just hearing friendly voices, you know, and Australian voices who are caring and lovely, just sort of felt like a big connection to home, particularly in the last year when, Australia is so, feels, no, I can't fly to Melbourne.
No.
I can't see my family. They can't come out here. I felt so far away.
How are you managing that, the thoughts of that, when can I get home or when can they come here? How are you?
It's hard, man. Yeah. And I think there's so many elements of that it's hard because we are so alone here.
Yes.
And even things like our wonderful friends here are so protective of Penny because they know how vulnerable she is. And if we go out for a park date, she'll crawl over to them for a hug and they just can't hug her, you know. So we are, and all of our friends, all our close friends here are moving back to Australia. So our whole community here is off, right? They're leaving. Yeah. One's leaving this week, one left last week, another one's leaving in December. So we're losing our community here because it's been a tough haul in the US the last 4 years.
Yes.
It's not been a good place to be. And it's getting worse. I mean, this week there's been a ton of racist attacks on Asian Americans, which is just hot, like in San Francisco, which is just around the corner. And so a big chunk of my team are Asian or have Asian family members, and they're just in shock. Like, how do I tell my elderly parents that it's not safe for them to leave their homes? How do I explain this to my kids? Like, and it's just one after the other. It's, you know, a lot of aggression against and violence against Blacks, which is just incredibly difficult to do. And now Asian Americans, and a lot of this isn't new. Obviously these problems have been around for a while, but you know, over the last 4 years, people have become very emboldened to say and do really bad things. And so it's very much, it's very ugly and it's very on the surface, and it's hard. It's hard to be here. So a lot about, you know, and then in Australia, like everyone's out at cafes and hanging out, and my friend's like, why are we here?
Yeah.
Why are we here anymore?
Yeah.
So
it's tough. We just sort of, we feel very alone out here. I think luckily I love my family and they're awesome, and we have a great kind of little unit here, but beyond that, it's very hard. Like I looked at my husband yesterday and I'm like, my mum and dad haven't seen my son as a 2-year-old. They missed that entire, and that's like the best year.
That is the best year. They're so funny.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're so fun. And I'm like, they missed that entire year. And I don't know when it's going to be a while, you know.
It's going to be
a while. I hope they don't miss three as well, but they might. And that's that sucks.
Until everyone's vaccinated, it's just not safe.
Yeah.
Well, it's starting
here. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's rolled out. It's
starting to roll out. My uncle just got, he's a nurse, so my uncle just got vaccinated.
Great.
We're getting that in Melbourne.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I know some medical professionals that have had it, but I don't know anyone else.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So come on.
I know. Well, I hope it's so P's got priority in California, which is good. So my husband and I were early on the list because of Penny.
Yes. I just found out that
It varies a lot state by state.
Saw that yesterday in the Association for Children with Disability.
Yes, I saw that too.
So there's all these different, you know, cerebral palsy was at the top, and I just sent it to my husband and said, okay, I think we better do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. So we got our dose. We got the Moderna vaccines, and we are free now. Not that we can do anything.
Are you fully vaccinated?
It feels good. I am fully vaccinated. Yeah, you get the first dose, and then 4 weeks later, you got the second dose, and then 2 weeks after that, you're sort of safe. So I'm safe zone.
Well, it means you won't bring it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal.
Yes.
It's a huge deal. You don't sometimes realize the weight you're carrying until it's lifted.
But high alert.
Afterwards, I'm like, I'm not going to bring this home to Penny.
Yes.
Like, that is a huge deal.
Yes, it is.
And I was like, oh my God. I didn't even realize I'd been carrying that for a year.
Of course.
Ugh. Just the paranoia, the hand washing, changing your shoes at the front door if you've been somewhere you don't know and all of that stuff. So, yes.
And it's been so bad here. Like, our little county was having 400, 500, 600 cases a day just in our little county, three little suburbs. So it's been
bad. We can't understand.
Bad.
No.
We do not understand.
Really, really bad.
We understand lockdown.
Yeah.
But we don't understand. And ours is, I mean, look, it can change tomorrow. And cases can come. But, you know, most of Australia, there's no active cases anywhere except for quarantine. So that's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Good on you guys.
Yeah. Well, good on the government.
I always laugh it took some courage, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know there was a lot of backlash and continues to be. But I got to tell you, from over here, it looks like a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, we think that too.
Yeah. And we had a lot of people telling us that. Yep, as we were moaning.
Yeah. Even my friends and family in England and Ireland, like the UK.
Yep.
Just you see a couple of bad decisions, like let's all spend July out, and they've just lost thousands of lives because of it. So it's
I know.
Thinking of all of you over there. We do not, never again will I take for granted ordering a coffee.
I want to know how you're feeling in the lead up to her birthday this week. How does birthdays feel?
Oh, yeah. Birthdays, full of guilt, my friends, in so many different ways, but it's beautiful. But like I'm not a very crafty mum, right? Yeah. Like I sort of have a full-time job, I'm not the one doing, but apart from once a year, like I do fantastic cakes, right? I do fondant and it's my thing. But poor Penny. So my husband and my other two kids are in February and March, and Penny's the last of the line. So I'm pretty caked out at this
point.
And I'm like, everyone's like, what's her favorite thing? And I'm like, I don't know, you know? And I'm like, oh man. And so I just find it really hard. I actually just sat down with her tonight and I gave her a book about flamingos and a box of Cheerios because she loves Cheerios.
Yeah.
You may remember my Cheerios story. And I'm like, Penny, what would you like for your cake? Right? Yeah. Like, do you want me to do a Cheerios cake or a flamingo cake? And she kind of tapped the flamingo box. I'm like, awesome, flamingos it is. So somehow I'm going to do a flamingo cake.
Oh, we need photos of that.
By Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, by Friday. Yeah, no, sure. That's going to be easy. But I just, it's beautiful, but it's always funny, you know, a little bit tricky. And she just, I don't know how much she knows, you know, I don't know. She might totally get it. She might not. Yeah. I don't know.
I suppose
but
you
still
got to
do it.
Yeah.
And what about presents?
I think
how do you find presents for her? It's hard.
Oh, I hate presents.
Yes.
It is. I mean, we're just going through this right now because she doesn't need anything.
Yes.
And we're doing a renovation. We've got no space and all of our family send over massive things. I love you, family, but like there's so many big presents. So, but then we're like, and today my husband and I were like, we don't have a present for Penny. And he's like, does it matter? And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Kind of, because it's nice for us to give her something and the other kids notice.
Yes.
And, you know, so it is, but then we're like, but what?
What are we going to get?
What? Her? Like, what are we? What do we get her? We've been doing this for 7 years, you know, so, and there's only so many, she loves like loud, flashy, blinky things, but there's only so many of those you can have in the house, you know?
Yeah. And then thinking about,
I don't know, it's not easy.
And thinking age appropriately and all those things that go around in our heads.
Mm. Oh my gosh. And then you look at things and that you're like, oh, she'd like this. And they're like appropriate for 1 year old.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's a dig.
Rubbing that
I
in,
know.
You know?
Why do they have to say that?
You know what's appropriate.
Oh.
I know.
Oh,
yeah, that hurts.
Unless you're going to choke on it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really need to have anything on
it. No, it stings. Mm. Yep.
No, I know. And like her favorite book, she loves those books that are tactile. You know, yep. so like that's not my flamingo is the book. You know, that's not my whatever. Those little tactile books. Oh my gosh, all of them. She just squeals and she scratches and touches and she just loves them. But I was looking to the other one and I like don't ever read the back cover of them because the back cover is like for tiny infants first discovering their blah blah. Oh. And I was like, oh. You two favorite books, so you just sort of that stuff. Well,
they betrayed you as well.
All the time.
Yeah. Listen to this, book publishers.
This is what I think.
Books are just for people who want to read them.
Yeah, so make those for all ages and it can be like, that's not my minion.
Yeah, well, I've got that's not my husband.
Yeah, that's not my husband. Like, make them, you know. We had a huge minion phase. It went for like 2 years. And I was like, when are we going to get out of that? Nope. You know?
Never. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, I've only had one experience with Penny where we didn't feel like we didn't belong, and it was so transformational. So she's a Make-A-Wish kid.
Yeah.
And we took her to Orlando, to Disneyland and
Orlando.
All that stuff. And there's...
Sorry.
Seriously, soundtrack, I love it. Okay. I love it.
Anything of Mormon, yeah.
But... Oh, no. There's a little village there called Give Kids the World Village, which is just for Make-A-Wish kids.
Oh.
And it is, you'll have to look it up, Give Kids the World Village. It is the best place in the entire world because everywhere we went was designed for her.
Oh.
Like everything. This entire world existed. And it was accessible. And the rooms were accessible. And they had little gates on the beds for the kids. And they had little trolleys going around constantly, like delivering food for parents that were exhausted with little ramps for the wheelchairs. And the swimming pool had shelves and there was an accessible horse riding thing. And they had ice cream 24 hours a day for the kids.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, it's just that. And all the kids get a little star, you know, that they can put on the ceiling. And so you can see all the little kids that have been there. And it was... Like, it was one of those truly transformational moments where you realize how inaccessible the world
is.
You know, when you go to a place that it actually all works, and then you realize the stuff we have to deal with in, like, there's never enough parks and you can't get out and there's bumps and it's hard to walk and it's crowded and then doors don't work and just the, like, every single day there's
and you're getting
stuff
your four-year-old
hard,
to hold
you know?
The door open. You know, ridiculous behaviors because you can't, I know.
You just can't. Like, you just can't get her through. And we just stopped. Like, we have a favorite ski resort that I used to go to all the time.
Yep.
But we can't ski because there is, by the slopes, there's one handicap park.
Yeah.
And it's always full. And the other park, you have to cross this really slippery road and then there's a staircase. And I'm like... So I can't ski here anymore. Like, that's just gone from my
the
life.
The mountains are so inaccessible.
Hmm.
They really, really are. Yeah. And I understand that a lot of fit people go skiing, but there's amazing skiing for the disabled and all these things on the mountain. And I'm like, but you're making it nearly impossible for anyone to get
come.
Here.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
Yeah. So
I know.
And I know they're on a mountain.
So
I get
right?
that it's steep.
Yeah.
But you can always have one accessible entrance and one accessible building.
There's efforts if you want to make that.
If you want to do it, you can do it.
You can. You can. But it's just, I guess they haven't, no one's been chatting.
Well, they don't care.
Because we all just give up, don't we?
We do.
Yep, we do. We're like, well, there's no money in that.
Yep.
No money in that. Like, that's the society we live in.
Yeah. So when you left that Make-A-Wish place, were you just like, oh, I'm going back to the world of hardness?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it's, you sort of realize, you just take it for granted how tricky it is, but then you see that it doesn't have to be that way. And you're like, oh, wouldn't that be nice if everything was a bit easier for us all? So you sort of, it really changes your view, you know, when you've got a little kid that you have to wheel around in a wheelchair and lift everywhere and carry everywhere and change tables.
Yes.
The whole thing. So
accessible
hard.
Change tables, all
but
of that.
Just to be in a magical place that's designed for you. It was, oh my gosh. Just
are you allowed
best.
To go there just again the or is it just a once off?
So it's only for Make-A-Wish kids.
Yeah.
But once you've been there, you can do a day trip once a year just to kind of visit the facilities and visit your star and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Orlando's
a long way away.
Yes. The other side.
Oh, it's a bit of a hike.
Yes.
It might be worth it. I might be worth it. We've got family in England so that we might meet them halfway.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And do that again.
Yeah.
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 Well, I'm just looking at the time and thinking maybe it's time to ask you, is there anything we've missed that you want the P world to know about your family?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's, you know, just for everyone to know that it's a journey and there's beauty and it's hard and it's really tough. And I think for the extended P world, you know, keep learning and keep asking and keep checking in and keep seeing people, right?
Yes.
Like if only people saw our kids more, I think they would get beautiful experiences out of it. And I think the world would be a better place because they are phenomenal little kids. And we've all learnt so much from them. I wish the rest of the world could do that as well.
So
thank you for raising everyone's voices, you guys.
Wow.
It's lovely to hear all the stories.
Well, thank you for coming on and telling your story.
Yes.
It's all the P stories that make this podcast.
That's right. Exactly. Mm. And for being an original P.
Yeah.
Like, Well, we will put anything you want on social media.
Yep. Send us your links.
Send us what you need. Yep. And
oh, lovely.
Send
any
the link to the breast pump and our Mary P listeners.
The flamingo cake.
Yes.
The flamingo cake.
I want
absolutely.
The flamingo cake. Yeah. We're sending you fortitude for that.
That's going to be late night.
Oh, my God. I have not figured out what that's going to look like yet, but wish me luck.
Oh, well, you'll
it's
do
be
it.
An adventure.
You'll do it and you'll do
I
a beautiful
will,
job.
Because we yep. do.
That's right. Yes. You sure will. Well, thank you, Laura, so
creating
much
memories.
For giving us your time.
Guys.
And
yes.
yeah, people will love this episode.
They
thank
will.
You.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, Laura was so gorgeous.
She kept her Australian accent.
She did.
Yeah.
2003.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
A long time.
Yeah, I would have thought there was a bit of a slippage. There wasn't any.
No. No. Well, when you're a proud Australian.
I suppose so.
Yeah, and her husband's English, so it's not like
yes,
she's living with
that's
an
true,
American
true.
Accent. Although
true.
We're children, she said.
Yeah. Oh, I just, you know, each week I think, oh, how can I love another Pete?
I know.
Boom, next
you're
week.
All beautiful.
I know. It's just love from one week to the next to the next.
We love you all.
Oh, I just can't take it.
And giving up your time.
I know. Especially, yes, there was a time delay because I didn't realise that they'd gone through
daylight savings.
So I thought I was so onto it with my production.
But she
I'm
said
being a producer.
It happens all the time.
Okay, good. Because I was like, I thought I was all over it. Anyway, thank you, Laura. It
thank
was
you.
So great to have your story. And I know many peas will love listening to you.
And we have a good friend that has the child has a sort of similar diagnosis.
Yes,
we
do.
So,
yeah, so she will enjoy to listen to
will.
That.
Yeah. All right, Mandy, did anything make you cry this week?
Yes. So I cried all day on Wednesday afternoon. And this is because I picked up Molly from school. And first of all, she just said something like, you know, I need a frozen Coke or something. I said, okay. Oh, no, she said the dentist is coming to school and she was nervous about it.
Yep.
And then after we'd sort of talked all about that, then she said that her friend had had a child in the school touch her breasts in the playground.
Opposite gender child.
Mm. Older child touch her friend's breasts. And this is just the fright of my life.
Oh, it's, yeah.
But
every,
Molly.
Every parent relates,
yes.
but every P parent.
Yes, yeah. right. So I'm already crying about it, right.
Yep.
For her friend and for Molly. And then she said to me, but I yelled fire.
This is incredible.
And all the teachers came running.
She is.
I know. And I was like, you yelled what?
Yep.
And she said, I said fire. And she said, and my teacher came running and he's fat.
Look, if you see a fat person running, you know there's a problem.
You know there's a fire.
That's speaking as a person of fat.
But I was just, the whole conversation just took my breath away from one extreme to the other.
And she solved a problem, Mandy.
She solved it. And she
really did.
And she said, so they must teach them that.
Which is a really good thing
and
to
so
know.
And so I could cry right now, but I just thought everybody needs to know this.
Yes.
Because no one's told me that they teach them that.
No.
So is this a thing?
Yeah.
Is this something everyone needs to know when there's an assault to just call out fire and then people will come to you more than if you say
I've
help?
I've heard that before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Because I haven't and I was so proud of her and so distressed all in the one, you know, moment. And then the tap was just turned on and then I was crying about every single thing in my life.
Yeah.
well, you know, for an afternoon.
You've got to have those days. And then you don't need to have the start of that.
Matthew calls me and he's like, so I've got great news. You want to go on the radio? And I said, oh, I'm just crying today. He's like, well, who do I need to beat up? Oh, so cute.
He's on our team.
He's on our team. Yeah. But, yeah, you know.
No, it's terrifying, and it's terrifying being a mother of a boy and thinking, do they understand? And we've had massive conversations about consent because if you live in Australia, you'll understand it's very much on the agenda.
That's right.
Because we've had the people in the highest offices in the country haven't been respecting what consent is.
That's right. And then
I've found it extremely confronting, just like everybody else. We won't go into it too much because I know it's really triggering.
It is.
But I was talking to Buzz and Woody about it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, no means no when you're talking to someone, when you're touching someone, no matter what stage along the journey, you know, you can say no at any point. And Woody said to me, oh, really, yes. But how do you actually get brave enough to even talk to a girl?
Oh, I thought, bless okay, his
I'm going to dial it back a bit here. Come on, Kate.
That is funny.
We're not at this level.
That is the most gorgeous thing ever.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah, right. But also, you know, I think you got to keep planting the seed because I'm very scared. When you're not neurotypical, you don't read the signals, right?
It's frightening.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I am terrified.
Yeah, on every level, on every side of the coin. I see both sides of
it. And we don't talk about this very much because we don't want to say anything about our children being teenagers.
No.
But I thought that this is an important thing, and also super proud of her.
Yeah, I'm super proud of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she did it.
She wants my name second on the book, but.
But she looked out for her friend.
She did look out for her friend. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So that I cried a lot.
Yep.
Yep.
I cried. So I went to a beautiful, beautiful wedding. My beautiful niece Leah got married to her beautiful bride, CJ. And it was really the moment that actually made me cry wasn't the wedding. I was standing with Woody and he's looking at them and he goes, so how does this work? And I'm thinking, oh, I said, well, you know, the man, the celebrant, he marries them. And he's like, no, how does it work? And I'm thinking, what is he asking me?
Yeah, what?
I said, well, you know, you get married and then you're married and you can choose. He goes, no, where's the sound coming from? I can't see a speaker anywhere. So I just did a little cry because I thought, all the things I'm thinking, it's confusing. Not confusing. People get married because they love each other, but where's the sound? I'm laughing now, but it made me a bit teary because I was like, love is love. It's a beautiful thing. That's fine. But also, I can't see a speaker and I can hear it.
He's like, I've driven a long way for this.
A long way. How's it working?
If I can't hear.
Yeah. I can't understand this. Like
oh,
that. Yeah,
sweetheart.
So that was, yeah. Oh. Anyway, has anything made a difference?
Yes, I went away for the weekend with Arca,
yes,
and my friend Kim and Mel, and we used to do Vocal Vibes together, which is the a cappella chorus we used to do together. Yep. And we would travel for competitions, and it was always frantic because it was hair and makeup and rehearsals and performing, and then all the business. And so, yeah, just to go away, even though that frantic afternoon of getting ready,
which she was on the radio as well.
Yeah, so I picked up Molly. Opened the chips for her. Then I was on the radio and then I got picked up to go away. But anyway, that's small for us peas, but it was just sort of.
No.
Well, not the radio, I suppose.
No.
And then Mum's like, now, you know that blanket that you got when you were married 20 years ago that was crocheted from the lady called Olive at the church? Well, they're having the 100th anniversary for the church, so they're just wondering, like, we need that blanket. And I was like, sure. So I found it. Yes, as well.
Oh, and then Olive.
I'm finding the crocheted blanket for the 100-year celebration at the church. And then I was just, I was like, Mum, I'm going to be on ABC Radio.
So I've got to go.
Okay. Well after that.
And I got this beautiful video from Mandy and Arca, a beautiful voice
memo,
which hopefully you can hear.
Oh, no.
Which has been making me laugh a lot.
We'd had some wine.
I felt very loved.
Okay, we'd had some champagne. Because we had to see.
I just got a beautiful I Will Always Love You.
Yes.
I mean, how many times have your friends sent you that?
Not many times.
Yeah,
so we sent that. And then you write back, well, that's a very surprising message. Anyway, to drive, to have someone's holiday house, to sit down. We kept saying, Oh, we're sitting down.
I know.
Oh, we're sitting down. We kept saying it.
It's been a year.
And just to leave the house and look at something. I haven't been away, so just to look at the beach.
Oh.
And then I realise I don't take time to look at things. We're going for a walk and I'm like, let's just keep walking. And they're like stopping to look at dead fish. And I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, you really want to stop and look at the dead fish.
Well, it was quite
life is busy. Stop and look at the dead fish.
It was turquoise. And they're like, it's your favourite colour, Mandy. And I was like, oh. Anyway, going away.
Yeah. And we see you peas who can't.
That's right.
And you bloody deserve it. And if there's any other pee, like the dad pee or the carer pee, let your freaking main carer go away.
Oh, my gosh.
Not let them. Book it.
Book it. Yeah.
Book it and tell them, no, you don't have to worry. I will cover everything.
Everything.
I'll do the feeding.
Yeah.
I'll do the OT, whatever. Yeah.
I felt riddled with guilt because I haven't done it for over a year. So I did. I felt very guilty. And Miss Ten's a bit clingy again because I haven't gone anywhere.
I know. And they've been through a really weird
year.
That's everything has changed. You've just realised when you've lived anywhere in the world this year.
Yeah.
Everything can change on a dime.
That's right.
So
that would made a difference. Yep. And being on the radio talking to Matt Preston was fun.
Yeah.
And just to tell him a funny little joke, Frankie. So we can put that up somewhere. It's in the Hangout if you want to listen to that. But but I had to do it on my own. I didn't realise Kate, because I was crying to Matthew when he called me, I didn't hear that he said that Kate wouldn't be on there.
Because I was in Canberra at the wedding.
She sends me a snap here going, good luck today. You're going to be great. And I was like, what?
She goes, aren't you doing? I'm like, no, I've got the wedding.
So I was like, okay.
He was like, I'll be fine.
It's all up to me. Okay.
And you were great.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
In some ways, I mean, I prefer doing things with you, but it's easy one-on-one because we've always got to make sure we're not speaking over the other person.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to worry about me. Okay, yes. So my make a difference is there's this beautiful, amazing pea mum who has a business called Bon Maxi.
Yeah, yeah.
And she makes like earring holders.
Yes, I've
and
got one.
You can... Look, she's got heaps of followers, but go follow her on Instagram. She's a divine.
We need to get
her on.
We
do need to get her on.
Yeah.
But she makes the most beautiful handbags.
Yes.
They're not cheap, but they're amazing. And I've bought one off her and it can fit my little drink bottle, my diary. It stands up on its own. It's so great. It's a crossbody bag, which I love.
I love them.
So many people have said to me, where'd you get that bag? I thought it's actually making a huge difference in my life, this bag. And so that's my difference. I'll put a photo of it on my Insta. I'll tag her. And she just releases them from time to time, I think. Maybe some things she keeps in stock, but some things she brings in because it's expensive to have stock sitting around.
Yes.
And she's beautiful, beautiful pea mum, and they're trying to find a new house. And so they go to all the opens and they take a selfie in the bathroom with her husband and her and her little boy. So, yeah.
That's cute.
It's been looking for like a year, I think. So they're probably getting a bit sick of it. But yes, she's a beautiful woman, and I love my Bon Maxi. That's my
favorite. Great.
And did anything make you laugh?
Yes. I came home Sunday night and we've been watching The Amazing Race.
Right.
Because Molly and I, we like to watch reality TV together because
great.
It's just, she gets it.
Yeah, you know?
And she's very worried about Sky Blue, who came fifth, who had the arm difference. So she made me message her and she said, could you get her on the podcast? So I emailed her, but I didn't want to say, can you please come on my podcast?
No,
I did.
Yeah.
I said, we'd love to talk to you. But Molly's like, you need to get more famous people. And then she said, you need to get whoever the guy is, that's Spider-Man. And she said, because he's dyslexic. Tom Holland, is that his name?
Sure, Molly, sure. Listen, I sent Will Anderson a PM and heard nothing, but I'm sure
we could get Tom Spider-Man. Because she said, he's dyslexic. I was like, well, okay, if anyone knows him.
Look, yeah, hook us up.
That's not even what made me laugh.
No.
What they had to, I think the four last teams had to go into this opera house in somewhere in New South Wales and they had to sing an 1800s opera.
Oh my gosh,
and
that's
they had
a
to
tough
learn gig. It. I was crying with laughter. These people can
was it
run.
Supposed to be funny?
No, these people can run, but they cannot sing. I just thought everyone was tone deaf. Like they were just singing the one note the entire time. Yeah, they were just terrible. But
so
did
someone win that?
No, they just all had to sort of semi-pass it, you know? But it was so funny. If anybody watched that, I was crying with laughter. So I just think, oh, surely most people can carry a tune. No. But they can run and they can do amazing things in that race.
Yeah.
They could not sing that Dame Nellie Melba opera.
No,
yeah, but they couldn't even hit a note, Kate. Anyway, it was really funny.
Oh, good. I've got sort of two things that made me laugh. The first thing, and I just keep laughing about this. So when we went to Canberra, which is about 7 hours from Melbourne, if you don't live in Australia, it's actually the capital of our country. And we drove, and I had Buzz and Woody in the car with me. And Matthew, who's our manager, Live P, rang. And so I've got him saved in my phone as Matt Live Guy, right? Because that's the first time we met him. He's like, I'm going to put you, give you a live show. So yeah. Matt Live Guy will do. Anyway, so his name comes up on the screen of the car, Matt Live Guy.
Yeah.
And Woody goes, you know what? That's a really weird middle name. Because why did his mum call him that?
Matthew Live Hardy.
Well, no, it just says Guy.
I know.
So he's like, Matt Live Guy. That's a weird name, Mum. I think it's so funny because he likes to be called Matthew.
I know, sorry. So we better change that.
No, he's staying Matt Live Guy because it's going to give me joy every time I see it. And then the other thing is, which is terrible, I've got Apple CarPlay. This is the greatest invention, and I don't want to brag.
Okay, you're
Mandy,
bragging.
You
I don't know
really
what it is.
Fucking
I would.
Love it.
I really want
your
this.
Screen. You can get it retrofitted to cars, but I don't know how much it is. But if you do it, Mandy needs it, so give it to her for free. You have a screen in your car, and it's your phone.
Oh my
so you
gosh.
Can just press the podcast button.
What?
And then you can see your podcast, and I can't even tell you. I just want to stay in the car.
For a long drive. That's awesome.
Anyway, so when you get a text, it'll read it. So it'll say, Mandy
what?
Twin just said blah. Would you like to reply?
Oh.
And then you just talk the reply. But the boys worked out that they can start talking. So trying to send messages is impossible with them in the car because they just keep talking over the top.
Oh, of course.
And then I've got to be really quick because it says, would you like to send it? And they go, send it!
No.
And then it's gone.
They worked it right out.
Right out. And it's just the young boys that I work for, when they go and have a big night, they're like, oh, I'm really going to send it tonight, Kate. So I feel really cool when I'm like, send it. And it's just a text to a real estate
agent.
You're
up with the lingo.
I'm up with the lingo, sending it. But, Apple CarPlay, goodness. It's
man.
The best thing ever.
Oh.
It's just, I just can't. I know. Someone told me it's been around for years. No.
Oh, so you got to buy it.
No, it's in my car, but I had to, like, when I got it serviced, they're like, this is how you use it.
Okay.
But I think Dingo Dave Reviews, who works for me, his car's not new at all, and he's had it for a long time.
Oh.
So I don't know, because I was telling him about it, and he's like, what do you mean, everyone?
I hate feeling old.
I was like, oh. My goodness, it's your whole phone is on there.
Oh my gosh, I need that. Okay.
Just the
someone
best.
Will write someone will give us money in,
yes,
the,
in the
supporter
thing
and say $10 towards Mandy's.
Before we go, actually, I'm gonna read a couple of the
supporter
things.
Yeah, thank you.
This one I love. Thank you for the continuing education of us outer rectums. This is from my late auntie, who was a nurse all her life and was not diagnosed with bipolar disorder until she retired.
Oh.
Amazing. And then I'm behind. I've just listened to the first rectum episode. I 100% think this needs to be a lecture for doctors. Holy fuck, those comments were fucked.
Yeah.
You guys are amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. And this, another one. Thank you for your amazing show and for the wonderful hangout. I feel seen and now I've finally found my tribe. P.S. Please buy some more Omo on me, Mandy.
And then we're away and Arca's like, I bought Omo because of you. She said, why aren't they sponsoring you?
We should get an Omo sponsorship because I also use Omo.
I know.
Yeah, and it is nice.
It is nice. Yeah. I'm giving them that.
Hey, Matthew, if you're still listening.
Matt Live Guy.
Get us an Omo sponsorship.
Or Acast. Yeah.
Acast, Jordan, I'll take it from either of you. I'm not fussy.
Okay, peas.
Rate and review.
Yes,
Buy tickets to our live show.
Buy tickets to our live show. 8th of May, 15th of May, Yarraville. And Ringwood.
Yep.
In Melbourne, Australia.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. We'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.